We spent a week at the Flames development camp, watching all the young players in the system practice and scrimmage. We'll let you know who looked good, what we thought of Johnny Gaudreau and Sam Bennett, which of the walk-on players we think should get a contract, and we talked to a bunch of the prospects who are at camp for their thoughts. This is episode 51, Development Camp, recorded July 14th, 2014.
Are you ready? Sea of Red, it's time for another episode of Fireside Chat.
Welcome back for a special episode of Fireside Chat. This is our post-prospect development camp wrap-up. I'm Dan alongside Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Good as always.
So we had the chance to go to the prospect development camp that was held in early July here. And it was an interesting camp. It's a camp where the Flames bring in all of their prospects who aren't pros yet. They may have signed a pro contract but haven't really played at the pro level yet. They might be brand new draft picks. And they do some practices, some scrimmages. They talk to the guys about the roles they want them to play in the organization, nutrition, off-ice training. So it's quite an interesting camp to be at. You were at all 5 days, and I joined you for the last 3 days. And you've been to this camp last year as well as this year, Matt. Did you notice any kind of changes in the way that the camp was run at all?
Yeah, there was a lot less focus on details and structure, and it was a more lax practices than last year, where it was very heavy in, you know, more game-like situations, both in the practices and the scrimmages. So, you know, like, this year they were telling players to not hit as much, because, you know, last year Tim Harrison did kind of catch Sven Berchi a little, you know, out of position there and nailed him pretty good, so, you know, they didn't want a repeat of that.
Yeah, I think this year the team was, and the GM, Treliving, told us that this year they were going to change things. Next year he wants to put his stamp on it as well. But I think this year they were probably going for more letting the players do their own thing and seeing who the players are than trying to put in a rigid structure. I think it was kind of a, okay, this is who you are. This is the game you play. Now we're going to give you some things to go work on over the next 8 weeks before you come back to the main camp in September.
Yeah, exactly. And it was more focusing on, like, actual skills versus, you know, rigid system play and all that kind of fun. So it was interesting to see.
There was also a lot of off-ice stuff that happened. The team did some bonding exercises. They took all the players out to the Stampede, and for many of them who haven't been to Calgary before, that was probably quite a cool thing for them to see. And a lot of the players that we talked to had some fun there. As well, they also did a hike up Sulphur Mountain in Banff. The players hiked up the mountain and then took the gondola back. So again, a lot of them probably have never seen the mountains before, and that would be a cool way to do it. But that's really also designed to, I mean, the hike obviously has some fitness benefits to it, but it was designed as off-ice bonding time for these guys to get to know each other, because eventually the hope is they're all going to be playing together.
Yeah, exactly. And the more you get to know people, the better off it is. So, you know, it's good that the Flames are chose to do it during Stampede. That way they can show off both the players that we selected as well as potential walk-on players that might sign in the future what Calgary has to offer, instead of a place like, say, like a New York or an LA where, you know, there are different amenities.
Well, let's jump right in and talk about some of these players. And why don't we start with the newest Flames, the guys that we drafted just a few weeks ago at the 2014 NHL Entry Draft. And the players that were in attendance were Sam Bennett, Hunter Smith, Mason McDonald, Brandon Hickey, and Austin Carroll. We'll talk about Bennett a little bit more in detail later. But of the other guys, Smith, McDonald, Hickey, Mattson, Carroll, any thoughts you had about those guys after the development camp, Matt?
I came into the development camp with low expectations just because I wasn't overly familiar with guys like Hunter Smith and Austin Carroll. So, you know, it's a learning experience getting to see these players personally, other than, you know, watching videos on YouTube like I did for my prospect profiles prior to the draft. And, you know, surprisingly, each one of them showed more than I was expecting from them, which that's a good thing, because, you know, like Hunter Smith, I was expecting more of a physical guy that was drafted more because he's 6'6". I didn't expect him to have quite as good of hands as that he did. So, you know, it was a good experience to see these people live and in person.
Yeah, Hunter Smith was drafted by the Flames with the 54th overall pick in the second round. He played for the Oshawa Generals last year. And, I mean, he is a big guy, and I think a lot of people, like you said, just thought, hey, he's going to be, you know, just a kind of a big, slow, hulking guy. But I was quite impressed by what I saw with Hunter Smith. I think every time I saw him on the ice, I was impressed by him. My eyes seemed to always be drawn to Smith when he was playing. He showed a lot more than I expected from a guy who was kind of that, you know, second-round pick. The guy who, you know, like you said, there was a lot of unknown variables, and I was quite pleased by what I was seeing.
Yeah, and the thing that caught me the most off guard with him is during the mountain climber exercise, he actually won his heat, which is, it's a endurance skating drill, and like he won it fairly cleanly. So, you know, to be 6'6 and actually be able to get down the ice pretty quick is a good thing.
For those of you that have played minor hockey, you probably remember that drill. That's the one where you start at the goal line and you skate goal line to blue line, then back, goal line to red line, back, goal line to blue line, back, goal line to goal line, back. And yeah, they were doing them in heats of five players and they were timing the players. So for Hunter Smith to be able to win that, and I mean, he was in a group at that practice with guys like Agostino, Gaudreau, Poirier, Bennett, Harrison. So yeah, for him to win that heat shows that he's got some good legs on him.
Mm-hmm. And that's encouraging for the future. The one thing that Hunter Smith does need to address, though, is he is extremely thin. And, you know, you could probably put 40 pounds on him between now and when he actually makes the NHL down the road. So, you know, that's the main thing that'll hold him back for the time being.
Of all the flaws, I think, for a player, I think having a guy who just really needs to add weight is an easy thing to do. I mean, it's not like you got to retrain his whole game or anything. I'm not a bodybuilder. For those that have ever seen me, you'll know. I mean, I have extra weight, but not the kind you want. So I think adding extra weight is a fairly easy thing to remedy for Hunter Smith.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's just a function of time, really. So
time and a good gym regimen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just have to be patient. He's not likely going to be heading towards the NHL till he's probably 22 or 23 anyway. So, you know, there'll be some time.
So another guy that impressed me coming out of that camp was Brandon Hickey, who the Flames drafted. And because he's playing generally at the AJHL level, I was kind of expecting him to be almost a step behind everybody in terms of compete level. I mean, if you look at the AJHL versus the Canadian Hockey League versus the NCAA, I was expecting him to get lost, and he really didn't. He looked like he belonged there. He looked like he could keep up with everybody else. I would say he was probably one of the better defensemen and probably one of the best defenseman, if not the best defenseman under 20 on the ice. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, he was the biggest surprise for me of the new guys. You know, I was expecting him to be all right, but like, he was actually right there with guys like Brett Kulak and Patrick Seeloff in terms of on-ice skill. Like, you know, it's one of those things that it's unfortunate that he's going to the NCAA just because it'll take a while to see him progress, but you know, the Flames will have something to look forward to in a couple of years once he's through college. So
yeah, I was quite surprised, and I think it was a really nice surprise to see how well he was keeping up there.
Well, put it this way I wouldn't be shocked if Hickey ended up being the Flames' top defensive prospect in a year from now, just because of how good his tools are at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know about a year from now, but I can definitely see him being a top prospect. I also think that the Flames have now a history of doing well with NCAA players. So I think that, you know, as much as a lot of teams might say, well, he's going to the NCAA, he's doomed. I think that if you look at the Flames depth chart, we know how to work with and develop some of those college players as well. Another guy you and I talked about when we were watching the practices and the scrimmages was the new goaltender that was brought in, Mason McDonald. And he looked good. I mean, he was a good young goaltender, but to me, he often seemed like he was a little bit behind the pace. He didn't seem like he was perhaps adjusting as well to some of these, some of the pace, whether it was the shots, the speed of the shots, or the, you know, quickness that some of these guys were thinking at. But he, for the whole camp that I saw, he seemed like he was a little bit behind. What do you think of Mason McDonald?
If you're looking just at the goal amount of goals that were scored on him, like, he would be dreadful. You know, like, he did give up quite a lot. But
in his defense, he was also taking on the best shooters. I mean, he had Bennett, he had Goudreau both shooting on him, David Wolf, Agostino, so he had a lot of the best shooters shooting on him.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, he... It's one of those things where, with goaltending, it's a matter of a fraction of a second between making the save and letting the puck in. And a lot of the goals that were let in, his glove was just slightly slow to the where it needed to be, or his blocker, like, he was a little slow on closing his arm. Just little stupid things like that that, you know, if you're not used to as high of a level of talent, you know, you're going to let goals in like that. So, you know, he'll need to go back to juniors and make adjustments to that. But, you know, anytime you get a 6'4" goaltender that's quick on his feet and quick laterally, you know, that's very good tools to work with. So, you know, it's just a matter of making adjustments and refining things. But for an 18-year-old goaltender, he didn't look terrible. So that's good.
And I think the benefit we have with McDonald is we can give him the time it's going to take to let him develop. We don't need him right away. I mean, if you look in the system, we've got, you know, our NHL goalies now this year figured out with Hiller and Ramo. We know that Joni Ordio is kind of the upcoming guy. We've got John Gillies, who we're looking at as an upcoming goaltender. And now we have Mason McDonald. So I think there's a lot of guys that the Flames could slot in the depth chart above McDonald to give him that time he needs to develop. So let's look later in the draft for the Flames then. Olis Mattsson, who the Flames drafted late, was not there. He was injured. But we did see Austin Carroll, who was, I believe, the Flames' 7th round pick this year. He played for Group A. To me, he didn't look spectacular. He was able to keep up. He was able to, you know, follow the play, keep up with things. But he didn't do anything that made me say, wow, this guy, you know, looks fantastic. To me, he was filling the body. He was what I expected from a late round pick. What do you think of Carroll?
Yeah, last year, he was actually one of the walk-on guys. And with my notes that I took last year, I had remarked that he looked like a guy that would be a good quality third, fourth line AHL guy. And, you know, he's got a little bit of offense to him, but, you know, he's more or less that type of... He's more of a Lance Boma type of guy where he'll hit more than score. You know, if he can turn into a physical fourth line guy down the road, you know, like a Jordan Nolan or a Dwight King, then that's great. If not, at least he'll be able to protect people in the AHL as they come through. Either way, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world if he doesn't make the NHL because he was a 7th round pick.
As much as he's playing the physical game now, we often see with 7th round players that they tend to evolve their game over time as they figure out what they might need to do to stay in an organization, that sort of thing. So we might see that his game changes a little bit. Maybe he becomes more of a, you know, defensive forward or something like that. So I think this was our first look at him. He didn't look awful, but I'll be interested to see Austin Carroll next year and what we're seeing for progress and change from him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right now, he'd be a quality AHL player. whether he's remains that is still to be determined.
Well, let's jump then to the player everyone's probably wondering about from this year's draft, the Flames' fourth overall pick, Sam Bennett. What'd you think of Bennett in this one?
Eh, he's okay, I guess. You know, anytime you get a first-line center prospect, you know, you can't complain. And Sam Bennett, he is not likely going to be ready this year in the NHL because he is a little undersized. But, like, the raw skill and talent there is just amazing. And, you know, he was a treat to watch.
It was cool to see Sam Bennett on the ice because whether it's for a scrimmage or a practice, he stood out to you. Just the way that he did everything at a different level than everybody else. His passes were crisp. His shots were, you know, much more targeted. You could just tell that this guy was on a different level than most of the other guys in the ice. And it was very evident to me and really cool to see him, you know, for the first time in a flaming sea.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm just hoping that the Flames don't rush him because, like, he has the same size issues that the Oilers had with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And, like, as we saw with Hopkins, he ended up getting a bad shoulder injury because he wasn't physically ready for the NHL. So, you know, like, I would prefer him going back to Kingston, tearing it up, being the best player in the OHL, and, you know, making Team Canada with a likely teammate in Morgan Klimchuk, and just, you know, being the best player he can be this year, and then come in next year and make the team and be awesome. So,
yeah, I think we'll find out more about what's going to happen to him in September after the actual development camp. But, I mean, you know, looking at him here, I think you're right. He was looking good compared to everyone else in the ice, but it would have been kind of interesting to see him against NHLers because I have a feeling you're right that he'd probably be a bit undersized, and we don't need him on the roster this year, so I'd say send him back for another year junior.
Yeah, well, the thing is that his game is more of a physical, like, he'll hit people, and you know, when you're 170 pounds going up against other players that are 170 pounds, that's fine. But when you're going up against guys that are like 210, 220, yeah, you're going to get hurt. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I think it would be in his best interest not to make the NHL, even though he probably really, really does want to.
Do you think that Sam Bennett was the best player on the ice at the development camp?
No, I think that title has to go to Gaudreau, but he was, like, right there next to him, so.
So let's talk about Johnny Gaudreau, then. I agree with you. Johnny Gaudreau, I think, was the better-looking player. I think that having Gaudreau sign an NHL deal last year and be around, even if it was for one game, gave him a bit more of a taste of what was expected from him. But it was the first time I've seen Johnny Gaudreau live in person play, and it was a pleasure to watch him. He looks like he's going to be a great player for this organization. Everything he did in the practice, he did full speed. He didn't look like he was, you know, slacking or trying to conserve his energy. This guy looks like a guy who wants to play this game at the pro level.
Yeah, if he was 6 feet tall, he would already be a star in this league. That's how good he is. You know, the only problem that he has is that he is really undersized. Like, I think he would probably be the smallest physically of any player. Not necessarily height, but height and weight. And, you know, he has to learn to navigate through that because, you know, if you're going up against a guy like Regier, you know, you're going to get squashed if you don't play your cards right. So, you know, like, that's why I wouldn't be opposed to him starting in the AHL even, just because he needs to adapt a little more to the pro game. But, you know, skill-wise, like, he's already at the top level of anybody, really. So, it just, you know, how will he adapt physically to it is the main question.
What I was noticing about him, too, he seemed like the best thinker on the ice. I mean, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but they deliberately broke up Johnny Gaudreau and Bill Arnold this camp to see how both guys could do without each other. And it seemed like during the scrimmages, Johnny Gaudreau was able to immediately gel with whoever they put him on the ice with. And I think that talks to his level of hockey sense and his ability to think this game. He was able to read his teammates and you know, whoever they put him out with, even if he's never played with them before, he was still fantastic. There was no learning curve there. So that, to me, is another sign that this guy's destined to be a top player in the NHL.
Yeah, well, honestly, if we were put out there with them, I think we would be 20 goal scorers in the NHL, and that's all Gaudreau. So, you know, it's one of those things that he is just awesome, really. So, like, he makes his line mates better. It'll be interesting more so to see how Bill Arnold adapts to not playing with Johnny Gaudreau.
Well, why don't we discuss that then? Bill Arnold was put on the other team. Bill Arnold was put on the A team, while Johnny Gaudreau was on the B team. And I was curious to see what was going to happen with Bill Arnold in the scrimmages, because I was wondering if he was going to be lost without Johnny. I was wondering if it would take him some time to adapt. He played with Morgan Klimchuk on a line during the scrimmages, and I thought that Arnold was able to show his own. He was able to keep his kind of playmaker role, the guy who sets everybody up, and he did get a goal on his own, but he was always there to set up Klimchuk. He was always in position. I was quite pleased by what I saw, because he wasn't as lost without Gaudreau as I thought he might be.
Well, one thing I noticed that was a major difference between this year and last year when I saw him was his overall speed. He lost a bit of weight, like about 10 pounds, over the course of a season, and he focused more on skating. And, you know, he looked fast out there. Last year, he was just above average, not gonna blow you away, but not bad. But this year, he was actually quick. So add the playmaking skill, you know, that he's learned from playing with a guy like Gaudreau, and, you know, I think he could be a player in and of himself. You know, even though he did have a fantastic line mate, you know, I think he has his own skill set, and, you know, he's not just riding Gaudreau's coattails. He looks like an NHL caliber player himself.
When we talked to Johnny Gaudreau, he actually said it was weird because he'd get the puck and naturally he'd want to pass it to Billy Arnold. And he'd look up and see Arnold's face and then realize, oh, he's in a different color jersey. So I think separating those guys apart was probably, you know, a good move by the Flame staff, because it really lets us see what each guy has. And I think Bill Arnold, like you said, does have merit. I think he can be his own player without Johnny. And I think that having a great setup man like that is going to help any players that they put him on a line with. In this case, there's Klimchuk he made look good, but he also has some offensive talent of his own. He sort of reminds me of when Mike Camilleri first came to town and we had the Kammy-Iginla pairing, where they could both score, they could both set each other up. That's kind of what I was seeing with Klimchuk and Arnold.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that Arnold, you know, having such a good player to play with, you know, that just fostered his own development. And, like, that's why, like, I don't mind the Flames having a bunch of skilled guys in Adirondack, because, you know, as new players come through the system, you know, if they're playing with somebody that's actually good offensively, you know, it'll help them learn. So, you know, and Arnold now, he looks like he could be a top 9 NHL forward, whereas last year he was kind of profiling to be a 3rd, 4th line guy, you know, so it's good.
So why don't we jump into talking about some of the other prospects here that I know people are going to be interested in. Let's start with one of the older guys here, the free agent that the Flames signed before UFA season started from the German league, the Hamburg Freezers. That's David Wolf, who we got our first look at in North America in the camp. What'd you think? Brad Treliving told us in a media scrum that he's like a fridge with legs. And he was. I mean, he's a huge player. He's a big boy. You can tell that this is probably a Brian Burke guy. He's truculent. He's nasty. He's exactly what the Flames need. What'd you think of Wolf's performance in the camp?
Well, you know what type of player he is when the coaches tell him to save it for Edmonton?
Yeah, they told him, wait till the Young Stars tournament and hit anything in a blue jersey. Don't take it out on our guys right now.
Yeah, he's 6'3", and as Treliving said, built like a refrigerator, a linebacker on skates, and You know, he's not the quickest player. He doesn't have the best offensive instincts, but he's not bad. And, you know, he certainly will be an NHL player, you know, just because of his physicality. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how soon it'll be between now and, like, when he does make the NHL, but he's definitely, he'll be a fan favorite for sure.
David Wolf's 24. He, I believe, has a one-year deal with the Flames. And if he does make the team this year, and we have a line of McGrattan, Bolig, and Wolf, that's going to be a heck of a fourth line.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, I wouldn't want to be an Oilers prospect or a Canucks prospect at the junior tournament, because you got both Kanzig and Wolf that are wanting to show their stuff and show that they what they have as potential NHL players. And when you got 500 pounds of player between two guys, yeah, I wouldn't want to be facing that.
The first time we saw him, I think it was you that mentioned, he looks like Rainier Wolfcastle, the guy who plays McBain in The Simpsons. He's got that big, buff exterior, he's got the accent, and he's got the blonde, kind of slick back hair. So I think that's a good analogy. For anyone that's never seen him, think of Wolfcastle.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the short forwards in Edmonton, that's for sure. I could definitely see Wolf becoming a longtime fan favorite if he makes the NHL this year.
Another guy on our list that we wanted to talk about was Keegan Kanzig. And Kanzig is another big player, a guy that's been around this organization for a little bit. I think it was you that noted that he was able to increase his foot speed this year from last year. And to me, he looked very consistent throughout the week. But he's a guy who I think is big, but has realized how to make the most of his frame. He knows how fast he can be, knows how to use his frame to his advantage, which some of these guys who've had a big growth spurt don't always. I think Kanzig, from what I've seen in the past, was looking the most this year like he's ready to turn pro than ever before.
Yeah. The main area that was holding him back last year was both his first step and his top-end speed. And, like, it was as bad that, you know, like, it was doubtful that he would make the leap to the NHL down the road. But he has significantly improved in both areas. Like, in that mountain climber drill that we were referencing earlier, like, he actually beat out a couple of players in his heat. So, you know, it's one of those things that he still has a ways to go. His first step is below NHL standard, and because of that, he would get walked around if he was facing a guy like a Bennett. But, you know, it's a lot better than it was, and, you know, if he can make the same kind of improvement next year as he did from last year to this year, then he shouldn't have a problem at all becoming an NHL defenseman.
Yeah, I think I wasn't there last year, but from what I've seen of him playing since, he seemed like he was perhaps one of the most improved guys coming into this camp.
Yeah, and he was. And, you know, last year, like, I was kind of hating the pick after seeing how poor his skating was. And, like, oh, good, you've selected Chris Breen 2.0. But now his skating's improved to the point where, like, it could be a serviceable NHL guy right now. So, you know, nothing more than a 6th or 7th defenseman as it stands now. But, you know, if he improves, then that'll just improve his staying power. You know, to have a more longer-term career as a more core piece instead of just a fill-in guy.
Another guy that we saw there who I was going in wanting to see how he did was Kenny Agostino. Kenny Agostino is a guy who has done several of these camps in the past. He's done, I think, 2 with the Penguins. This is his second one with the Flames. So he's a guy who understands how these camps work. And he turned pro at the end of last year. So I was really interested to see what we saw from him. And to me, I was pleased by what we saw from him. I don't know what it is, but there just seems to be something about him that makes me think he's going to do well at the NHL level. He's consistent. He always knows where he needs to be. He's just one of those players that, you know, he's not a standout. There was no time I said, wow, Agostino's the best player on the ice, but he was always doing the things he needed to be doing right.
Yeah, and Agostino is only, like, slightly above average in every area, but his determination wills him forward, and, you know, like, he fights for the puck. He gives the second efforts where, you know, both second efforts are expected, but they're also not expected, and because of that relentlessness, he should become a quality depth forward in the NHL. Like, I don't think he will ever get more than 20 goals in a season, but, like, you know, you do need useful depth leadership types that will give it their all every shift, and I think Agostino is that type of guy.
Every time that, especially during the scrimmages, every time I looked on the ice when a play was developing from his team, Agostino always seemed to be in there if he was on the ice. He was always, you know, doing the right thing to help progress the play forward. But he was never, like I said, the top guy you were looking at. He was never that breakaway forward. So I think good for him for knowing that role and understanding, as you said, that he's probably going to be that role, that kind of, you know, lower end NHL forward, and for understanding his roles on the team and being able to further those. And I think that's going to help him stay around here for a long time because he's obviously come into a role that's unique to him.
Yeah. And of the forwards that we actually talked to last week, the player that showed like the most determined demeanor of the bunch was Agostino. Like, he just seemed absolutely focused on getting better, so that's good.
Yeah, I was, again, quite pleased by Agostino. I think for a lot of Calgary fans, there's a lot of pressure on him and Hanowski, because they came over in the Iginla deal. But, you know, I think that everyone's going to be quite happy with what they get out of him. Another guy I was curious to see last week was Bryce Van Brabrand, who the Flames signed as an NCAA unrestricted free agent at the end of last year. He did play for the Flames. I didn't notice anything spectacular about him in the training camp, but he didn't seem lost. He was able to keep up with the play. He looked like, you know, a guy who deserved to be there. I think this is a guy who we're not going to see a lot of at the NHL level, but I think a guy who is going to be great for the Flames as a player within their system somewhere.
Yeah, and he was one of the walk-on guys last year, and he was one of the standout walk-on guys. His offensive skill is okay. One of the main problems that I saw during the week, though, was he always seemed to miss the net high and wide, which, as a winger, you know, that's the worst place that you can miss the net, because the puck will loop right around the boards and back out the other way. So, you know, he needs to work on his accuracy. He's more likely going to be a fourth line guy if he makes the NHL full time. Like, I don't know if he has enough skill to make it be much further beyond that, but, you know, he does seem like a quality player. You know, you could sub him in and you wouldn't be going, oh, wow, Van Brabrand is a terrible player. It's just he's not going to blow you away with wicked dangles and all that. So,
yeah, I see him as a guy who will probably be a depth guy in our organization. I know a lot of Flames players or Flames fans might not remember this guy, but he reminds me of a Carson Gurman from a couple years ago. He was a good player. He was in the system for years. He was in the organization. He knew his role, but he was never really destined to become an NHL player.
Yeah, that's a fairly good comparison. Just a solid guy. And, you know, we do need AHL depth. And, you know, he is competent enough on the ice where he can assist other players with learning how to play at a higher level as well. So, you know, if he doesn't make the NHL, at least he'll be useful in some area.
Yeah, I think it was a good signing. I think it was, you know, good. I think sometimes for scouts, it's probably harder to identify those depth players because it's obviously easy to see great top-end talent. But then to say this guy's got some depth there and can help us in a depth role, I think that's often a harder thing to do. So good for the Flames scouts to be able to find him and recognize that. And I think they were right, and he'll be here in that role for a long time. Another guy that we should probably talk about is Patrick Seeloff. Seeloff is one of those unfortunate players who lost a whole season last year due to a whole bunch of things, but he got hurt, he got a staph infection, he was out. He was in all three practices at the training camp wearing a blue jersey, which means he can't be hit. I was kind of expecting Seeloff to look rusty. I was expecting him to look like a guy who really hasn't played. I know he's done some practices, but hasn't played at that top level for a while. But based on what we saw in the practices, to me, he looked like he's ready to go. He looked like he was able to keep up. He looked like he's improved his skills. What did you think of Seeloff this year compared to last year?
Well, the main difference between last year and this year with him was his shot and his shooting accuracy were just okay. Like, you could see that he wouldn't be a goal scorer as a defenseman. But, like, I don't know if it was his time off the ice or what, but, like, he was sniping the corners like nobody's business. Like, you would thought he was Gaudreau out there for how many corners he was picking. And, you know, it's one of those things that you'd have to see more of that, whether he was just getting lucky and on his shots or if he's actually improved, but he definitely looked like an NHL, probably the most NHL ready of the defensemen. You wouldn't know that he missed a week, let alone a year. Like, he just looked solid, and you know, he looked at times like a dog wanting to get off his leash. Like, he just was champing at the bit to go bite people, you know. He even nailed David Wolf into the goalie during one of the drills, even though he wasn't supposed to engage in physical contact. He just couldn't contain himself anymore. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's very encouraging that he was playing at a high level as he was, all things considered.
That's the only time you want to nail David Wolf is when you nail him and he's not allowed to hit you back.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think everyone knew that Patrick Seeloff was kind of penciled in as either NHLer or kind of the first call-up last year. So I think the fact that he's still looking like that doesn't surprise me. If he's healthy in time, I think he's definitely got a shot at the team. And I think because he was out, guys like Tyler Wotherspoon got a chance they may not have got otherwise. So it might in the end turn out to be a good thing because of that. But yeah, to me, I was quite happy with what I saw from Seeloff. He did go down in the last practice. He got, I think, a skate to the ankle and he fell down, had to go to the bench, and he was limping off the ice. So I was sitting there thinking, oh crap, he's going to be out again, and we really don't need this guy with more injuries. But Brad Treliving confirmed for us that he was just fine. He was walking normally. Everything's good. So that's good news that Seeloff is healthy and going to continue his development.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you wish that the players would, especially the defensemen, would wear those ankle guards. Because, you know, like, we lost Giordano for a month last year, and, you know, we could have lost Seeloff for a month or so if, you know, it was more serious than it ended up being. So, you know, they should invest in some of those and kind of force the players to wear them, even though they are uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, even though he wasn't wearing it, good thing for us that he didn't get hurt. I'm really glad to see that.
Oh, definitely.
And maybe it'll make him rethink about it. Who knows?
Yeah. No harm done.
Outside of those players, I think, at least in my assessment, if I look at the roster of players the Flames had at camp who are signed, you know, we had guys that we haven't talked about, like Emile Poirier, Tim Harrison, Eric Roy, Brett Kulak, John Gilmore, guys like that. I think that there was nobody there that didn't look like they should be there. Everybody looked like they were competent, like they can play at that level. Some just weren't as much of a standout as you'd expect. which I think makes sense based on who these players are and what their roles are. But was there anyone that you saw that was signed by the Flames that you thought, wow, this guy doesn't look like he's ready, you know, to move forward, ready to take that next jump in his career, whatever that's going to be?
The only guy that stood out as being poor at his position was Eric Roy. He's a very good offensive player, and, you know, like, I don't mind the Flames taking him, you know, as an offensive player if he could figure out the defensive aspect of his game. But he looked even more lost this year than he did last year, and while his offensive game improved, and it's almost to the point where you would think that might be in both the Flames and his best interest if he stopped being a defenseman and just, you know, tried to become a top six forward, because he does have quite a bit of offensive skill. He has a good shot, very accurate, good passing ability. You know, he's got the size for it, so, you know, it's just one of those things that he just doesn't seem to know where he's supposed to be on the back end. And I think that might disqualify him as things move forward from an NHL career.
See, and I didn't see him last year, but I just looked at who was on his defensive team, and he had Kulak, Hickey, two walk-on players, and himself. And I just thought, okay, maybe... he was defending against some decent forwards. He was against Bill Arnold, Austin Carroll, Klimchuk, and Brabant. I thought maybe he was just not the top guy, but I didn't see him as perhaps, you know, switching him to forward or anything like that. But yeah, maybe he is the one or two guys that isn't going to work out. You know, maybe he's the guy that they say, okay, this guy is just not going to work out. It happens in every system. But I think you almost need to give him another year. I think that the Flames are going to give him a lot to work on, and then you let him go away and work on those things. And I think as long as he's showing he's working on the things they're asking for, you got to keep him around until, you know, you got to sign him to a pro contract at least.
Yeah, and, you know, it wouldn't hurt trying him at least at forward because of the fact that he does know what he's doing in the offensive zone. So, you know... either way, you know, like, see if he can improve defensively, but, you know, have the forward possibility as, like, a fallback option.
Yeah, the thing there is, because he's playing in the WHL, you have little influence over what his team does with him all year, but the Flames could try that at the September camp and see what they think of him. Outside of the Flames prospects, this year there was also 18 walk-on players, guys who are unsigned, who are undrafted. Some of them were drafted and not signed. Most of them are undrafted and unsigned. They're all unrestricted free agents. A good number of them come from the NCAA, which is different than in the past. I think that's how many unsigned players were there last year? Do you remember?
There wasn't a huge amount just because we had so many of our own guys there. But there was about 10 or so, give or take, you know.
So definitely more this year. It was a year ago,
so yeah. And, like, it wasn't, like, a huge amount of them, like, showed anything that was notable. Like, only Juris and Van Brabant were good last year from the walk-ons, and we ended up signing them both. So, you know, it's just, at least this year, there were a few guys that look like they might be deserving of NHL contracts, although maybe not right away.
So to me, there were two guys that I think the Flames should look at pursuing an NHL contract with. The first one is a defenseman from the Spokane Chiefs, Jason Fram, and Brad Treliving actually confirmed in the final scrum with the media that they are looking at Fram and looking at bringing him back in September for the main prospect camp. But he's a defenseman. He was on a defensive core that also had Culkin, Gilmore, and Kanzig on it. So he looked good. I think of all of the walk-on players that were skaters, he was probably the one that I saw the most out of. And I find it interesting, too, that he's a guy who has, in the 2013-2014 season, he had 57 points as a defenseman at the WHL level. So most of those were assists, but a guy who definitely knows how to move that puck around. What do you think of Fram?
Well, it's one of those things that if he was taller than he is, like he's only 5'11", like he would have got drafted. And he probably would have been in the fifth round, give or take. You know, his shot is not spectacular, but his passing ability and his overall offensive game is good. You know, like, he didn't really look much different than guys like Gilmore, like Culkin, like Kulak, like Hickey. Like, you know, he was in that group conversational-wise.
Another player that I think the Flames definitely need to take another look at is the goaltender who is working with Mason McDonald on Group A, and that's Cole Huggins. Huggins has played in the BCHL last 3 years, and last year jumped to the Minnesota State University team. He was the best looking of the walk-on goalies, I think. He was able to compete with some of the big shooters like Bennett, Gaudreau, Agostino, Wolf, those guys. And I thought he looked like a player who could handle them well, but he also had his positioning and his glove down pat. He seemed to, you know, understand his weaknesses and knew how to play up his strengths, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in the NCAA last year in 34 games, he had a 1.88 goals against average and a .926 save percentage. Now, you know, you don't usually get that caliber of stats unless you're a very good goaltender. Like, even though he might not necessarily be an NHL goaltender, he is showing that there is something there. Even if he might, down the road, become a backup, like, you know, you need that too. So, he didn't look bad.
Are there any other walk-on players that you'd like the Flames to take another look at? Guys that you think deserve potentially a contract with the Flames?
The only guy that, like, I would definitely sign was the Czech guy, Lukas Jadl. He looked more or less like what Josh Juris did last year, but he's 6'4". And, he's not going to blow you away offensively, but he is a very good offensive player and knows, like, how a play evolves and knows where he has to go and all that. Like, even though he is 6'4", he's only, like, 190 pounds, so it's not like he's a big physical bruising type guy. But, you know, just a competent player, and it wouldn't be a bad idea if we got him a contract just to help foster the AHL guys along and see if he takes the next step, because he improved steadily in his own career in the Czech Republic from last year to this past season. So, you know.
So, Matt, based on your assessment, you were at the camp last year and this year. Who was the most improved player to you? Who improved the most from last year's camp to this year's camp?
I think it's a tie, really. Morgan Klimchuk, he was okay last year. You know, like, you could see flashes of skill, but it wasn't, like, there was no real consistency to his offensive game. This year, like, he was dynamite. He was right up there with Bennett and Gaudreau for the drills. And, you know, he was by far the most dangerous player on Group A, and the other guy that I thought improved was defenseman Brett Kulak. And I think Kulak will be an NHL player. He definitely has an NHL scoring defenseman slap shot. So, you know, both of them made very encouraging leaps in their development. So, you know, it's good.
Well, I think that about wraps up our preview of this training camp, but I would encourage anyone, if you've never got the chance, to go down and check out Winsport at the very least. It's a cool facility. We spent the whole week there, and I've never actually been there before this, but outside of hockey, they've got a skeleton track, a luge track, there's running and weight room, so there's a little bit of everything for everybody. So if you've never been down there, go check it out, because it's an amazing facility.
Yeah, they even have mini golf, and there's also the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, and all the facilities there are top-notch, and you know, it's definitely, if you've never been, go there, because it is just a wonderful facility.
Matt and I got the chance this week to talk with several of the prospects that were at the camp, as well as a couple times to be part of a media scrum with Brad Treliving. We will now take you from our analysis of the camp to talking to some of the guys that were in the camp and see what they had to say. We'll talk first with Bryce Van Brabrant. So Bryce, this is your first camp at the pro level, your first camp being under Flames contract. What are you finding the difference is competing at this level than what you're used to?
A lot of it is just all the little things. Instead of kind of things you could get away with before, like turning or having your stick in the wrong spot, like now that makes a big difference. Like that could be the difference between saving a goal or giving up a goal or scoring a goal. You know?
For sure, for sure. What did you find your biggest takeaway was from today's scrimmage that you're going to apply to Wednesday? What are you going to reflect on and try to change in your game?
I'd say probably try to get my feet moving a little bit more. I felt a little sluggish out there today, and it was okay, but, you know, it's camp. We've been working hard the last few days, so at times you feel a little bit sluggish, but just take care of your body, and it'll take care of you.
Did the compete level surprise you today?
No, I don't think so. Everybody's a high-level hockey player. Like, as much as they say they don't care about winning, everybody wants to win. No one likes to lose, and it's a big pride thing.
What's the biggest thing in your game you're trying to work on this summer before we get to the main camp?
Probably my skating, like my first few strides. Like my top end speed's okay, but that could always use a thing. But the better skater you are, the easier it is, the more time you have on yourself.
Very true.
So that and agility.
So how is it now that you're finished college and all that? Like, excited to be finally done with the textbooks?
A little bit, yeah. It was nice to hang out with all your buddies. Like, you live with your teammates and you see them all the time, so it's... That's fun in that sense, but the fest for the school thing, I was okay at school, but it's nice to be kind of done and over with, and that chapter of your life is done.
You're done all your classes?
I have one more.
Okay.
Yeah, starts today, actually, so.
So you're going to be hitting the books later today?
Yeah, maybe, we'll see. It's first week, so usually it's just introduction stuff, and
there you go.
Those are the weeks that you live for, is the introduction, and you don't have to work so hard.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. Thanks.
Next, we talked to one of the forwards who came over in the Jerome McGinley deal, and fellow college student, Kenny Agostino. So, Kenny, you've done a lot of these prospect camps now, both with the Flames and the Penguins.
Yeah.
Are you still finding that you're able to learn some every year?
As a hockey player, you're always looking to grow and learn something new every day. And, you know, whenever you're performing it in front of your organization, you want to keep learning and developing. And,
that's true.
And, you know, we have a great staff here that's teaching us every day. You know, by no means do I feel like I have everything figured out. And that's why these camps are awesome. It's a great way to develop your game and learn about, you know, little things that you could do to make yourself a better hockey player.
Now that you've got a pro contract, do you feel a different level of pressure coming into this camp?
Not really, to be honest. You know, I think whether you're under contract or not, you always want to play at the highest level you can, and you want to perform your best. You know, that being said, you know, being that I'm a pro under contract now, I do think there's a certain responsibility for us, you know, guys under contract, us older guys, that we sort of have to lead by example on and off the ice and sort of, you know, demonstrate what the Calgary Flames hockey culture is.
So this is probably the first time you've played in a game-like scenario in a number of months.
Yeah.
What was the biggest thing you found that you're going to have to reflect on for the next scrimmage on Wednesday?
I don't know, maybe decision-making. I didn't feel like I was that off of the game pace.
You look good out there.
I felt good. Thank you. I obviously I'd like to finish that shootout and a couple scoring chances. But
yes.
Other than that, you know, I feel systematically, I really think I took strides this past year and, you know, finishing the year with the Flames in terms of where I like to be positionally in the D zone and O zone. And, you know, I think I'm working hard and finishing my checks and making little plays.
Excellent.
Are you glad to be out of college finally?
Yeah, well, actually, I still got a few credits, but it's nice. I actually just finished one class the other night in the hotel. I finished a 10-page paper up.
Nice.
So I won't readdress that until next June where I finish up my degree. So now it's good. Yeah, now for the next 2 months, getting ready for training camp.
Focus
it's all
on hockey.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
For sure.
Well, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us, and good luck with the rest of camp, and we'll see you in the main camp.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
So this is Dan and Matt with Keenan Kanzig. Keenan, training camp's over. You've got 3 days of practice, 2 days of scrimmages. How do you feel coming out of this?
I feel good. I think it was a good camp. It was competitive, and there's a lot of good skill out there, and it was fun.
Based on what you've talked about with the coaching staff and that sort of thing this week, what do you think is the biggest thing in your game you're going to have to improve before coming back in September?
I think foot speed and agility is a big thing for me. and also puck handling as well are two, I guess, key points I'll be focusing on for the rest of the summer.
Okay. As you know, new regime here in Calgary. We've got Trelevin and Burke now at the head of this organization. We have some new coaches at the AHL level, some new development guys.
Yes.
Have what they've been telling you and the role they want you to play now different than what they were talking about with you before?
I think it's pretty similar. I think the role that I play, I have been playing is, you know, it's gotten me to this point, and I think it's what I'll be successful with in the future.
Excellent. So you're happy with the game you're playing? You don't think you need to make any drastic changes to get to the next level?
No, I don't think there's anything too big. It's just the same thing. Like I said earlier, just working on foot speed and hands and just all around, working on everything.
Entering your second training camp, how do you feel that you've improved since last year heading into this year?
I think I'm a little more confident this year going into the second camp. I've done it already, so now I kind of know what to expect, and I'll be better prepared physically and mentally for it, and I think that'll help me a lot.
How does it feel having Hunter Smith, someone else that's your size, out there instead of, you know, just towering over everybody?
Yeah, he's a big guy too, and he's a good player. I mean, there are some big guys in the dub too that I've played against, but. It's good to have someone else that will run my size out there.
Looking forward to seeing you in September. Looking forward to your future as a Flame. Thanks for giving us some time today. We're here with Mason McDonald after a week of the prospect camp. Coming into this camp, did you have any expectations for the camp? What were you expecting out of this week?
I just came here. I wanted to compete with all the guys here, get used to the pace of the game, and get the experience of being at the camp. It was a really good week. I had a fun time. The pace on the ice is really high.
You look like you were able to keep up with it, too.
Yeah, that's something I want to get better at, though, is adjusting to the shot speed, adjusting to the moves the guys make. I just have to get better every day to be able to stop those pucks that went in.
As a new draft pick coming in, I mean, you've only been with this organization for 3 weeks. Did you feel any added pressure coming in here?
Not really. I just came here to play my game, do what I always do. I didn't feel much pressure. I always go there on the ice, just trying to do my best, and that's all I can really do.
What's the biggest difference for you with this camp versus any of your other previous experience?
This one's a lot more high pace. Back in junior camp, it's not as intense, not as high pace, but this one here is definitely a lot better and a lot more high pace, a lot more skilled guys. Definitely a lot tougher.
Based on what you've learned in this camp, either through your own play or reflection with the coaching staff, what's the biggest thing you feel you have to work on this summer to, you know, come back in September and have improved?
I think leg strength with my pushes is something that I really want to improve on. I want to get quicker going across the crease to be able to catch up to those high speed passes, and those shots are coming right away, so that's something I really want to get better at.
What's your best experience off the ice this week?
Stampede was pretty fun on Sunday night.
Is that your first Stampede?
That was.
Did you lose any money?
No, I didn't. No.
Won any stuffed animals?
No, a few of the guys lost a few bucks. I was fortunate to stay even, though. And
good.
I got to see some of the horse races, nice. And that was a pretty good time.
Yeah, when you make it here in the Flames main roster, Stampede becomes old hat. I mean, as Calgarians, we go, oh, it's Stampede time again. So.
Yeah.
But, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And you guys were in Banff yesterday?
Yeah, that was good, too, hiking up the mountain.
First time in Banff?
Yeah, it's really nice there.
It's beautiful.
Couldn't believe it. And hiking up that mountain was crazy, and I was actually scared coming down on the gondola. I hate heights, so.
Yeah? The gondolas are kind of fun once you get over the heights.
Yeah.
Just don't look down, look straight, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like you kept up doing the hike?
Oh, yeah, I was right in the middle of the pack. No, it wasn't too bad. It took us about an hour to get up, and the view from there, saw a few goats up at the top. It was pretty fun.
For people that aren't as familiar with you, as you've just been drafted, not everyone saw this camp this week, what goal did you pattern yourself after?
Steve Mason's a guy that I kind of play like. He's a lefty like me. We play kind of a similar game. We're both 6'3", or I don't know if he's 6'4", I'm 6'4", but we both play that big style of game, and he's someone that I kind of look like in the net.
As a goalie, I think you're probably qualified to answer this for us, but based on the shooters who are shooting on you this camp, who do you think fans should be looking at as a great, say, shootout guy? You've done a couple shootouts now, or just one of the shots that when they're coming down on you, you started to think, oh crap, this is, you know, a really good shooter they've got here?
Yeah, I think Johnny Gaudreau, that's his name. Okay. He's probably one of the best that was on the ice. He's really shifty. He's got speed. He can shoot the puck. He's just got a great hockey sense, and I think that he's going to be a great hockey player.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the organization.
Thanks
for spending some time with us today.
We also chatted with the Flames' other second-round pick, the 54th overall selection, Hunter Smith.
So, Hunter, we'll start by welcoming you to the Flames organization.
Thank you.
It's got to be surreal that just a few weeks after being drafted, you're already here on the ice in front of the NHL staff and, you know, players that have done this before.
Yeah.
How are you feeling coming into your first pro training camp?
You know, I was a little bit nervous the first day. You know, kind of gripping the stick a little tight, but I think that's kind of regular. You know, I think we had a good pace in the first few days of practice and, you know, a lot of good passes and stuff. So it's not like guys are messing up a lot. And then, you know, I guess that's what it is at the pro level. But, you know, it's just kind of a good experience to get out here and put on that Flames crest for the first time.
Do you feel like you've loosened up over the 5 days?
I think after the first 10 minutes, you know, you kind of get smooth and you kind of realize that you belong and everyone's out here trying to earn a spot. So that's kind of what I took from it most.
What do you feel that you need to improve upon to get to the next level?
You know, it's going to be my skating, my balance, and my weight in the corners. You know, I got to be a lot stronger on pucks, and I got to dominate the corners and blow the tops of the circles. So, you know, that's kind of going to be the focal point of my training in the summer, building up that lower body strength. And hopefully over the next 8 weeks, I can see significant improvement, come back into camp, and leave a good impression.
Last year, you were undrafted. What steps did you make to improve to get to the point where you were drafted?
Steps were huge, to be honest. You know, I think it was the summer. I thought I was working hard, but I wasn't working as hard as I needed to the summer before. And then, you know, I put in all the hours I needed to, and I got results this year. So I think that was the biggest thing for me.
What are you looking forward to most on this upcoming season?
Just a nice, productive year. You know, I think we're going to have a strong team in Oshawa. We get some pieces back, like Del Cole, unless he sticks in New York, if he comes back, you know. We're going to have a good strong bunch, make some trades maybe, and hopefully we can push for a championship.
Coming into this camp as a guy who's only been here for 3 weeks, who has really been a mentor to you? Who's kind of helped you out to figure out how things are done at this level, to, you know, introduce you to the organization, that sort of thing?
That's a good question. No, I don't know. We just came in. Like, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know, maybe there's one of the guys from last year who's, you know, spent a lot of time with you.
No, there's a lot of older guys here, you know, a lot of guys from college that have been to different camps, not specifically this one, but, you know, they just kind of try and, I just kind of ask some questions, what's going to happen, like, how's everything going to flow, but, you know, I heard Calgary is one of the tougher development camps to come to, so, you know.
And you survived.
Yeah, it was a very good experience.
We'll get you the t-shirt.
All today we were having a good laugh about it, that it's done now, but, you know, I know a lot of the guys are excited to kind of come back in September.
Any sort of hazing for the new draftees this year?
None.
Good.
No. What's the biggest difference coming to a camp like this versus other camps that you might have been to?
I think the speed and just the, you know, like, the precise. It was very precise, you know. From day one, like, passes were on the tape. Everything was going smoothly. Wasn't very sloppy out there. You know, I've had a few summer skates with just guys from back home, and, you know, I was just kind of messing around in sloppy play. So it was nice to get back in that rhythm of, you know, crisp, hard passes and fast-paced hockey.
So, well, thanks a lot, Hunter.
Fireside Chat is produced and edited by Dan Stevenson. This show is licensed under Creative Commons license. For full license information, visit firesidechat.ca.